irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch with me today, as you always are, Fridays at 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time here in beautiful Los Angeles and around the world. Thank you all for joining me today. We're going to have a great show, as always. And what I'm doing actually is responding to a lot of listeners' questions. A lot of you guys out there have been emailing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com and asking me questions, you know, things to ponder, how to deal with certain issues in your life, and stress, relationship stuff, and of course, the outcome of the election. That's like the biggie I'm finding in my practice today is, you know, everyone who did not vote for Trump is very sad. You know, there's a lot of emotion going on in this country. There are still a lot of arguments. Of course, all over the country, there's protests. Here in Los Angeles, there are a lot of protests going on. And I say we have a right to protest peacefully. Sometimes it's difficult. I was on the 101 freeway. If you don't know the freeways here in beautiful downtown Los Angeles, they're crazy. That's why people hate living here. But, of course, we have the sunshine and all the fun stuff. But the thing is that usually when it takes me 25 minutes to get home, it took me 3 hours because I was stuck in my car on the 101 by thousands of protesters. It was Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, I'm down for people expressing their displeasure with things. Totally. I'm on your side, guys. You have a right. This is what democracy is all about. But the thing is we have to be peaceful. You know, there's a lot of unrest going on. There's a lot of destruction now that's happening downtown and all over in cities. That's not going to serve the purpose, I think, of expressing you know, how you feel politically and your frustration with what's going on. There's a lot more constructive things we can do, and I'm going to talk about those things. Also, we're going to be talking about managing anxiety connected with the election as well, but also just life in general, because so many of us are overwhelmed with working too hard. Companies are cutting down on paying people, so they're skimming the fat. So a lot of people are being laid off. Difficulty getting jobs and or working several jobs of the people who've been fired. I hear that a lot as well. We also have trust issues emails about relationships, how to meet decent people online. I have no idea. But anyway, we're going to talk about some of those things and what creates a peaceful, loving relationship, how to kind of chill out the rough edges in your relationship, how to make nice with your partner and maintaining your own dignity as well. So we're going to be talking about a lot of those issues. And if you have any questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you guys. 323-203-0815 is the phone. I am getting so many emails online here about feelings that people have about the outcome of the election. And that email is Gmail, of course, and it's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Let me just give you a little picture of my world. I worked for years in psychiatric hospitals, also in clinics, have a private practice. And, you know, what I find is many of us don't have to have a, quote, mental disorder or diagnosed with anything to feel sad a lot, to be depressed about things in life, to feel stressed, anxiety, just have feelings. We all have feelings. We all get sad. We all get depressed. We all do that. And I received three sort of alerts in the morning, the day after the election. 5 a.m., I received a text rather than a call or a emergency little beep, as we say, from a client who said because of the election outcome, she's going to think about doing herself in. At 3 in the morning, I received a call, really, that was very similar. So I, being the responsible person I am, returned the calls and talked the people down. Got another similar call about 7 in the morning. So what I'm telling you right now is there are ways to sort of cope with your feelings. And since Tuesday night, a lot of people have been in shock about Donald Trump becoming our next president, the possibility of that. So, you know, I'm just saying, everybody has their own political point of views, and you have a right to share your feelings about your point of view. You have a right to peacefully demonstrate. And I'm going to tell you how you can sort of get yourself together if you are depressed by the outcome, to work through some of these things and empower yourself and others who are like-minded. All right. So I'm going to just read to you one of the emails I received. I received many that are really similar, but I'm just going to, this one just sort of jumped out at me because it's probably written very well. And also it really reflects a lot of the feelings of people who I see and have talked to, and all of the social media that I've read around the country. This is from Steve. Don't know if it's his real name, but thank you so much for emailing me. I appreciate it. So nice to hear from you. And Steve says, I'm personally depressed and angry after the outcome of the election. I fear that this country will be ruined and that people's rights will be taken away by this wealthy bully, those were in quotes, who doesn't care about women, minorities, or people's differences and rights as human beings. I fear so many things. Some of my friends here are from Canada and Mexico. They're working on temporary green cards. I don't want to lose them and have them deported. All righty. My friends' rights as women or their ability to live in a free country might be impeded. Can you give me some ways to cope with this tragedy? I look at it as a tragedy that I am feeling right now. Okay, so here's the deal, Steve. We all know that the election results sent a shockwave across the country. That's the deal. Shockwave in many different ways. Some celebrating, some responding with worry or fear, hate, outbursts. So I'm licensed as a psychologist. I have a PhD in psychology, clinical psychology. So I am not a political scientist. But I have taken political science classes. So if you do have some fears about the incoming government, I want to remind you about a little bit, and this will ease some of your thoughts, maybe help you out a little bit if you haven't been, you know, up to date on the political, laws, some of the things going on, how our system works. We have checks and balances. So I'm going to help you out with this, and then we're going to talk about some ideas that you can have to, you know, work through your issues. So there are going to be checks and balances on a new government of any kind, all right? Whether you believe it or not, the president of the United States is not a dictator. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, he's a dictator and it's, Hitler. No, the president does not have free reign to do anything they please. And their abilities are restricted in many ways. So This is the stuff you learn in political science. The Constitution still holds true. We have our rights. No one can undo this. Okay. Some of the people are saying some of the things that Trump's pledged violate the Constitution. He can't legally do them. Laws just don't go away because they're inconvenient to somebody. So the First Amendment includes freedom of religion. That means that anyone with any religious belief, and Muslims are protected under the Constitution. The First Amendment allows a free press and the right to express dissent. It will never be illegal to speak out, as long as you're honest. It will not be illegal to protest. May be illegal if you get violent and hurt somebody. Yeah, you'll be arrested for that. But it's really important to express your feelings. We have a right. The Fifth Amendment protects people's right to due process. Okay? And the 14th Amendment states the people need equal protection under the law. This means that targeting anyone based on race, ethnicity, religion, gender, etc., is unconstitutional. We have laws in this country. We really do, believe it or not. So you also have to recognize there's political science 101. I mean, I'm just telling you guys, Congress can keep the president from overstepping their bounds. The system of checks and balances allows the legislative branch to curtail the powers so they can override presidential vetoes, approve treaties and appointments, disapprove. They can investigate and impeach if necessary. Look what they did to Clinton. Okay. So recognize that the judicial branch can also limit the powers of the president. The Supreme Court may rule against actions of a president. It can rule that a president's action is unconstitutional based on the Constitution. Right? People's rights? Okay. President cannot fire the justices of the Supreme Court, by the way. There's lots of advisors out there, too. And advisors are exactly that. They warn against doing things that are way too out of line with the American people. So advisors can speak up. If they feel something is ridiculous, unwise, or illegal, they know policy. Okay. And they're required not to follow orders that break laws and, again, go against the Constitution. There's a lot of bureaucracy here, and it makes things hard to change. Because this is a good thing in a way. Okay? So it's incredibly hard to take away anybody's rights for them. All right, Steve? So I just want you to think about these things. You and everybody else, you know, you have the right to protest. You can speak out against policies. You can have a voice. You'll always be able to use it. But for yourself and your sanity, you've got to allow yourself to process your feelings, whatever they are. It's okay to feel apprehensive, disappointed, scared, frustrated. What else? Whatever else you might be feeling, honey. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to take time, sort out your emotions. Okay? And figure out what insights your feelings are giving you about what is important to you in your life. Everybody copes differently. That's okay. But you said you're freaking out here. You're falling apart. You got to find a constructive way of coping that works for you. So find supportive friends or wise loved ones who you can talk about your fears and worries. So what's cropped up in the last week here are several support groups for people who are not happy with the election. Yeah, I happen to know a couple of therapists who are leading groups of people who need to express their fears, concerns, and this therapist helps them, you know, with their emotions and coping skills. And these are cropping up all over here because, you know, Los Angeles is a huge city. So it's get a support group. Find one in your area. All right? Sometimes it's good to take a break from the crazy news. Because if reading all the negative press kind of stresses you out about the, you know, Trump being president, whatever, it may be good to avoid the news for a day or two. You know, keep yourself informed, but your mental health comes first. Okay? So spend also less time on social media. I know a lot of people say, yeah, but it's, you know, really cathartic. I get to let it out and say what I feel. Well, that's good and everything like that, but you're always going to have somebody coming back with a negative thing. So if a friend starts talking about politics and wants to engage and roll with it and start to get you angry, just say, I'm kind of overwhelmed with what's going on in the news. Can we talk about something else? Like getting drunk tonight. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry, guys. Didn't mean it. So here's another way to take care of yourself. Try to relax. Use those tools. Breathe. Think about what's important to you and empower yourself for your life. Get things done. Check some of the things off your to-do list. It'll help you feel more productive and good about yourself. And here's the thing, more in control of your life. This is what I'm hearing a lot from people is, I'm out of control. There's no control in our country. Well, there is. You got to focus on things that you can do now instead of being consumed by worries about the future. What can you do for you? What can you do for your loved ones to take care of you? What can you do? Okay. And remember that, you know, everybody that's projecting a lot of fears, worst case scenarios statistically do not happen. And you've got to roll with things and tell yourself that you'll be able to adjust and adapt to whatever changes takes place. You are the boss of yourself. You are the boss of one. Okay? So you've got to just get your own stuff together. Try to take care of you. Take care of your responsibilities, but be good to yourself and treat yourself to the fun stuff you enjoy as well, whatever it is. Another great thing to do is to help other people because that kind of empowers you to make a change and remember the good parts of the world, right? Yeah. So you can volunteer for a social justice organization. You know, there's a lot out there. You know, you can donate to a cause. You know, any cause that you feel may be threatened. And you can comfort other people who may be upset, you know, about things that are going on in their lives and the political situation. Validate their feelings, offer reassurance, get support, and give support. Okay? Just support all the loved ones and the people around you. Spend time with them. And you might, like I said, you know, look at, you know, some of the groups in your area. I don't know where you're listening to me from in the country here, but you know, there are a lot of great things that you can do in terms of volunteering and go to support groups as well to kind of get yourself together and make yourself feel better. Okay. Just some ideas for you. And I thank you so much for writing in, Steve, because this is like one of the biggest email issues that I've been having all week long since the election. And, it's okay. It's not okay, but you have the right to, like I said, express yourself, help yourself, take good care of yourself, be the boss of you, control your stuff as much as you can. You know, we don't have control over other people. We really don't. All we have is control over our emotions, yeah, our feelings, our behaviors, our actions, okay? So just know that and do the best you can to take care of you. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me here on LA Talk Radio. The country's most irreverent, entertaining, and cool internet talk station. We're talking about a lot of issues here on the couch today. It's a little more somber here in the studio. Engineers and the owner, program director, is a little, you know, they're all feeling, you know, a lot of unrest here. I get. Maybe I'm wrong. Am I wrong, guys? From the election. But I don't know. So a lot of the emails were geared towards that today. But I hope if you didn't catch the first part of what I was talking about to Steve, you know, coping with, you know, his dissatisfaction of the outcome of the election, you can go ahead and listen to the show again. It'll be up in the archives tomorrow. Some ideas, coping skills, self-strength, things like that. And also, all of my shows are on iTunes podcasts for free. Just go onto iTunes and type in On the Couch. No, it's not the sports show, but that's a good show too. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Free iTunes podcast. Okay. All righty. We're going to go into something that I get a lot of, and it has to do with forgiveness. This is a lot of, these are a lot of worries that I hear in my day-by-day therapeutic environment because a lot of people have trust issues from whatever. So I'm going to read you this email. And this is from Sally. Wow, this is big. Okay, it's about trust and something that he did to her. And I'm going to talk about forgiveness, how we can forgive other people if we want to stay with them. Because you got to forgive them or have some kind of peace and resolve if someone betrayed you or hurt you in some way. But let me first remind you that if you'd like to ask me a question, or if you have any ideas or you'd like to give me a shout out here, you can do so online. It's a straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, coming right into the studios here on LA Talk Radio Live. So it's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and I'm handling a lot of emails today in response to what's been going on to the election, and also, you know, personal stuff too. A lot of stressors. And like I said, the big topic here is forgiveness right now on this email. And we don't have a therapeutic relationship, by the way, guys. I'm not your therapist. I don't do online or radio therapy. All I do is I give suggestions. So that's my little disclaimer here. All right. Here we go. Sally says, I've been with my guy for 6 years. When we were together for 2 years, he said he got drunk and, as he said, made out with a coworker and, quote, got his junk fondled, oh God, by an office coworker when he was at his company convention. Even though he said that he would never do it again, oh God, I still can't forgive. When I go to work with him and pick him up or go to company dinners, I sometimes see the girl who fondled him and who he made out with. I just can't get the visuals out of my head, and this trust issue always comes up when me and my guy argue. How can I learn to forgive him? Okay, well, that's a toughie because especially once when we've been cheated upon, and I think that's cheating. You're right? You have to look at his behavior in the future. I mean, I don't know what he did to appease you or make you feel safe or make you feel like you could trust him in the future. But you're still with him 6 years later, so apparently he has said something or done something to make up for that indiscretion at that particular time. So how do we let go of it? Either you decide you're going to let go of it and move on, because that will probably make the relationship healthier, or you're going to hang on to it and throw it up in his face every time you guys have an argument. The latter is not healthy, does not improve your relationship, will only make you resent him more. Hang on to those issues, and it'll make him resent you more for hanging on to it. So apparently you guys are still together, so sounds good to me. But here's some ideas about forgiveness. How to forgive. How to forgive. All right? We've all had issues of some kind or another because we've been betrayed. We've been hurt. We've been dumped. Someone lied to us. People have hurt us. We feel betrayed. Every single human on this earth who is a conscious, reasonably thinking person. But sometimes forgiving someone is a really hard thing to do. So, Sally, when you can forgive this guy, you will feel more liberated. But I hear ya. I mean, what makes it really hard for most of us to do is the way we define it. All right? So I don't know what you're thinking, Sally, but we think of forgiveness as meaning that we should stay with the person and say to them, all is forgotten, things will go back to what they were, everything's wonderful. Okay. How can you forget the unforgettable? How can you get that visual out of your mind so you can enjoy the benefits of forgiveness? Okay. All we need to do, like I said just a little bit ago, Sally, is we need to make the decision to move forward to let go of the old hurts. We don't have to condone what's been done. What's wrong is wrong. I mean, you know, he admitted it. At least he shared it with you, unless you heard it from one of his coworkers secretly. That sucks. Or got a little peek online in a social media gab. Oh, God, that would... I don't know how you found out about this, but whatever it is. What we have to do is to allow ourselves to release the negative emotions associated with what that person did. Okay? So as long as we hold on to the pain, we're choosing to allow the past actions to continue to hurt us. So that's a definition of forgiveness that's kind of more doable for a lot of us, right? So let me tell you what to do a little bit, okay? write out exactly how he hurt you. He hurt me because. All right? Now, I want you to go to a quiet place and think alone. Think about this situation. Think of it in detail. Allow yourself to feel the hurt. All right? Now, try to put yourself in his shoes. What motivated him to behave the way he did? Alcohol, you say. Okay. Yeah. Yep. All right. Yeah, he was abusing himself. He was drinking. It's a party environment and many work conventions. All right. Does he have fears and insecurities that motivated his behavior? No, Sally, I'm not giving him excuses. You just got to kind of think about his point of view. Think about what he told you about why he did what he did. And if he keeps saying I was drunk, then he needs to get a handle on drinking too much because he can't behave. I hope he's listening. And you can share this with him as well in the rerun. In the archives, you can hear right here on the couch on LA Talk Radio. Okay. Do you want that angry feeling to stop? Do you want that lack of forgiveness? Are you tired of this? All right. I think I would ask him why he behaved the way he did again and say, keep it real with me. And if you don't keep it real, I'm going to think about pulling away from this relationship. Because we have to be totally honest with each other. Have him explain why he behaved the way he did. Then you need to write out, process it, think about it, see if it's okay with you, and see if you can let this go. And focus on how long he has been with you. Focus on how he apologized, how he begged for your love again, how all the things he's done nice to you, hopefully, to keep you together for 6 years. Okay? You get to write out this, something like this. I understand why you behaved the way you did, and I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that you were filled with pain or liquor or whatever you needed to do to go beyond my trust and maybe inflict the pain I might have on me to regain some kind of self-esteem. I refuse to let you hurt me anymore. I'm choosing to let go of the pain that you caused me because I want to trust you. I realize that letting go of this pain does not minimize or condone your bad behavior, but it kind of validated my own worth as a woman in your life. So, I'm choosing to take back my personal power so I can heal. I'm going to try and release all the hurtful emotions I feel regarding your behavior. So, you also get a right to say, I'm feeling not trustworthy with you. If he does something that's a little iffy now I'm not saying he didn't text me right back. No. I'm talking about reasonable. If he starts pulling away or seemingly, is acting abnormal again, you get to say, I get my space and time to think about this relationship. You get to say that. Okay? You've hung in there a long time. But it sounds to me like, Sally, this guy has gone back to you and been pretty nice, but I know you're hanging on to the old thing. It's really hard to let go of those hurts, but on some level you have to. Okay? So you have to just kind of take care of yourself. And that's what it is. All right? All right. Okay. Now we're moving on here on LA Talk Radio on the couch with Dr. Michelle. We're having a little bit of a somber day today because there's a lot of people in pain. There's a lot of people who are, writing out to me on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com who've, had a rough week, it seems like. We have a great email here. And this is from Justin, and I thank you so much for emailing me. He said, this has been a terrible week for a lot of me and my friends. I'm very stressed in my work environment. My girlfriend voted differently than I. We've been arguing about the outcome of the election. I'm very upset. I don't know what to do right now. I feel out of control. A lot of my good friends and family keep saying to me, feel more positive. How can I change my thoughts and feel more positive when it seems like my job and my relationship is in the crapper? All right, Justin, thank you. I like that. Well, that's true. I mean, how can we feel those things? It's really hard to get out. It's really hard to clear the fog sometimes. Let's clear that fog a little bit. Yeah, you can't just flip the light switch, as I always say to people. Don't flip the light switch. Okay, I'm better now. Unless you're, you know, using something that makes you feel better. I don't know. But then again, you have to deal with, you know, when you come back down, yeah, you still have that haze, that icky feeling, that hangover, that whatever it is. You can't get out of town because it goes with you wherever you go. But here's the thing. Justin, you gotta take some of that advice, I guess, from those supportive people around you to kind of clear up what you're feeling right now, some of the funky lower feelings that you're having. So I always say you can change your point of view and enjoy your life better. And how can you do that? I know it's yucky and you have a lot of obsessive, intrusive negativity going on in your life. You got a lot of stress. You got a lot of stuff on your shoulders. And, you know, there's a lot of people who look at, there's like an old saying that says, two men look out through the same bars. They're in prison. One sees the mud and one sees the stars. That's from Frederick Langbridge, by the way. It's from A Cluster of Quiet Thoughts. But that's one of my favorite because it just depends, you know, you can be in prison and you can either look at the mud or you can look up at the stars and say, you know what, I'm going to make the best out of my life. All right. Why is it important to nurture or try to get an optimistic point of view on things? I'm not pushing that you have to feel good and ignore your negative feelings. I don't do that. That's not my thing. I say feel it, embrace it, all right? But don't obsess. Don't, as we say, just perseverate and ruminate on those thoughts all the time, which bring you down and make you more depressed. And then you might think about going on an antidepressant, and then you're not taking care of yourself. You're not exercising. You're not eating right. You're getting, you know, drunk a lot, you know, all that. Okay, so optimism's been linked to positive mood and good morale. Okay. It's been linked to academic, athletic, occupational, emotional, social success. All right. If you can have some bit of optimism in your life, find things that bring you joy. This is also linked scientifically to longer life and freedom from trauma and feeling depressed. Okay. On the other hand, as we look at the statistics, in this city, in this state, I guess, is what I'm looking at, the rates of depression and pessimism have never been higher. All right. You know, and a lot of people have felt really off. But here's how optimists are in action. And research shows that it really pays off to try to find more of that optimist within you. We all have it. Some of us have depressive disorders we can manage. You know, so we have to be even more vigilant about taking care of ourselves. But research shows some of those defining characteristics of optimists. And I'm going to also share with you some of the characteristics of pessimists that really get them in trouble and will eventually mess up their health emotionally and physically. They're linked together. Optimists try to expect the best and can roll with the worst. They come up with things like, that's okay. I've had worse things happen. That's okay. This may be the worst, but I'm going to conquer this one, as I have in the past. It's okay to have my feelings. It's okay to have my anger and depression. And the defining characteristics of pessimists is that they tend to believe bad events, which will last a long time, and undermine everything they do, are going to overwhelm them. You know, optimists are confronted with the same hard knocks of this world. They are. It's not like, oh, all the lucky people are only optimists. Not. What differs is the way they explain the problems that come to them or their misfortune. Okay? a lot of optimists say, this defeat, this pain I'm expressing, this job loss I just had, this relationship problem I'm having, this family issue, is a temporary setback. Okay? Optimists tend to focus on and plan for the problem at hand and use positive reinterpretation. In other words, they most likely reinterpret a negative experience in a way that helps them learn and grow. Okay? A lot of optimists perceive the negativity as a challenge and try harder. And they go within and empower themselves with things that they can control in their life about themselves, their body, their thoughts. And, you know, a lot of people who are optimists don't say things will never get better. This sucks. If I failed once, I'm going to fail again. I have bad luck. If I have a misfortune in one part of my life, I'll probably have a whole bunch of bad things happen to me. No. You know, and positive expectancies of optimists also predict better reactions during transitions to new environments. The election problems that people are feeling, sudden tragedies, unlikely turn of events. You know? So try to see opportunities in this sadness that you're having with your work, with your relationship, with your sadness about the outcome of the election. Try to look at it as opportunities to empower yourself instead of obstacles and something that's going to weigh you down and mess up your own life. Don't give the power to your boss. Emotionally, do what you can to keep your job for your preservation, or plan and get another job if you're so unhappy. Be nice and try to work on your relationship with your partner. If she's really not supportive and loving and kind to you, then rethink this. Take control. Get some space. Again, we don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm just saying, ideas for you to think about, suggestions that people do. It's an opportunity instead of an obstacle. How can you empower yourself to take care of you? Do all those things that you want to do for you. And optimists are proactive and less dependent on other people for their happiness. Optimists don't have to control or manipulate people. They usually draw people towards them. Okay? So you've got to try to keep your own power. And this is the thing that I'm stressing today. You know, have faith in yourself and things you can control in your life. You know, when the going gets tough, optimists get tougher. You know, this is all based on statistics. This is all based on research. Optimists usually maintain higher levels of subjective well-being during times of stress. They're healthier. They have fewer heart attacks. They have fewer anxiety disorders and depressive disorders. People who spin the negative into more of a positive form and try to really believe it and embrace it on a daily basis are improving their mental and physical health. They live longer. They're healthier. And medical research has also justified that simple pleasures and a positive outlook can cause a measurable increase in the body's ability to fight disease. It improves our immune system. We age better. So why not try to be a little bit more optimistic? And I'm not putting you down, Justin. This is no judgment with you, honey. We all feel depressed. We all have issues. We all have stress at work. We all have relationship, family problems. It just happens. Financial issues. But try to look forward and plan positive things that you want to achieve in your life. Be proactive. Take some steps to take care of you. As I always say at the end of the show, you got to take care of yourself first. And then you'll be good for other people. And that's the way it works. It really is the way it works here. All righty. So thank you so much, Justin, for emailing me with that question at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. We're taking your emails and questions. And again, we don't have a therapeutic relationship here on the couch. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and Yeah, I'm just giving you some suggestions, ideas about how to make yourself feel a little better. Take care of yourself. Take control. The things you can control, your thoughts, your actions, you can control those things. Can't control anybody else. Can't do it. Okay? All right. So, let me take this one right now, because there have been a lot of people who are doing a lot of online dating who I see on a regular basis. And it's difficult out there because, it's rather impersonal. It takes a while to get to know somebody. You text or you talk on the phone. You get to know them slowly. Yeah, you message, whatever. So then you have that meeting. And then you start to date a little bit. Start to kind of maybe sort of kind of like somebody and are kind of interested. There's a lot of emails from guys, which is really cool. I love it. I love the way you guys are reaching out to me, and it's really, really nice to hear from you. This is from Darren, and he says, "Hey, Doc, I've been meeting and dating women online for a long time. I'm trying to figure out why things aren't working after we've gone out on several dates. Sometimes the dates feel like interviews, and they're the same old boring conversations. Can you give me some tips about making some wise dating decisions so I can find someone who's real and likes me for me?" That's beautiful, Darren, because you got to have someone who keeps it real. We're all on good behavior, let's face it, hopefully, when we all go on first dates or are trying to impress someone online and we kind of reach out, we have likes and we swipe right. And it looks good, feels good. But the thing is that, you know, what we have to do is we have to really do have to go through an interview process. That's the way it is, Darren. And I think it's good in a way. You know, I prefer face-to-face meeting someone, you know, whatever, some kind of a club or through a friend or a religious organization, or your bars are kind of a drag because people are drunk. So you don't know the real person, but it's nice to meet face to face. But unfortunately, there's a lot of situations where we can't. Now, where I live here in Los Angeles, it's a real spread out city. Yeah, it's hard to meet people. You know, the big thing here is geographically undesirable. Someone lives on the west side and someone lives on the east side, and they're not going to sit in traffic for 2 hours to try to date someone on a regular basis. It's just the way it is in certain cities, especially in this city. So, you know, that's an issue too. So there's a lot of issues going on with online and meeting people and dating and all that. So if you're nervous, Darren, you know, you're kind of lacking confidence. It sounds like you're having a rough time kind of getting things rolling, because after you date someone for a little while, then it kind of peters out. So you shouldn't really act like or let your date know that you're feeling a little lack of confidence. You shouldn't indicate or talk about dates in the past and women you've met who are a real drag. Don't complain. So the key to a successful date and future dates, my friend, is having fun, presenting a positive image of yourself. All right. I just was reading Justin's email. We were talking about optimism. So let's kind of spin it a little bit. Okay. Let's be a little bit more optimistic. So being interesting, you know, being an interesting guy is not about making up lies about yourself so you're like this fantastic guy, or conforming to your date's ideas of the perfect person. You got to be you. You be you. So a lot of times the date thing, when you set up a date, it's about great conversation. Hopefully you've been conversing online, texting, whatever, with a person who you matched with, and they've responded. It's all good. So you go out on that first date, maybe the second date, to keep it good, to keep it going. Like I said, great conversation. Hopefully you know that person a little bit more. Good location selection. Nothing too romantic, nothing too out there on the street. Make it in between. Good location, fun. I love nature. Openness and manners will make you an interesting date. openness and manners. Be a good guy. Be who you are. Increase your chances of a follow-up meeting. So I'm into like some ideas here. So it's really good to pick a unique date location, unless your date has a choice in mind. So if she says, "I really like this restaurant, let's meet up." Cool, do it. Absolutely, because it shows that you're flexible. And location selection is important because it kind of shows your level of creativity and how original you are. And everybody wants to be, you know, with someone who's original and fun and all that stuff. So unless she says, "Darren, I want to go here," then pick something fun rather than like dinner, seeing a movie, having a drink, or whatever. Do something different. Get out. Do something fun. All right? Not too strenuous. Going out into the environment and then having lunch. I'm into the daytime dating first for a while, right? You can get out into, you know, the air. Even if it's pouring rain, if it's snowing, you're experiencing outdoors, having fun, walking, having lunch. All right. Also, step two is having something to talk about. You can't really make yourself a master of communication, you know, Darren. But get ready to talk about some things you know and care about. Whatever it might be, movies or, I don't know, what's going online, you know, trending. Have topics in mind to talk about. And don't just sit down and bring them all up. You know, let that other woman listen. You know, have an opinion and kind of know what you're talking about. Don't be argumentative. Don't be, you know, like you have to prove a point. If you come off, you know, like you got a chip on your shoulder, that will be the end of that date. And future dates with that person. Also, use body language to connect. I always talk about open body language. Don't fold your arms in front of you. Don't keep looking around the room. Don't fidget. Just relax. Have your open body communication. Keep your arms down to the sides or, you know, open on the table. Nonverbal communication sends signals to people. Look at them, but don't give creepy stares. Don't be staring at him. Don't do the creepy guy stare. Don't you do that, Darren. And do something spontaneous. I mean, I don't know. If you're at a place and a song comes on, dance. See if they like to dance. Like I said, go on a hike together. Not too far, not too strenuous, not too crazy. Just do something fun that's a little more spontaneous. Shows that you're kind of fearless and fun, especially as a first impression. And be honest and open. I mean, that's another biggie that I always advocate, because too many times early on in the dating cycle, we try to kind of project a false picture of ourselves. And being open and honest doesn't mean that you have to divulge all of your dark secrets and share your life stories and icky stuff about your exes. No, don't lie about your job or, you know, financial stuff. Don't lie, but just be yourself. And have some self-confidence. Don't come off like a narcissist. And just kind of be open and show that you're not out to hide anything. And at the same time, don't make yourself seem like something you're not. You be you, because in the long run, you want somebody who likes you for you. You know, you don't have to be the perfect guy, because you don't want to be long-term with anybody who you have to keep up false pretenses with. And that's the way it is. So just take some of those, you know, ideas to heart, Darren, and I thank you for reaching out here, because that is a common thing that I hear a lot in my practice and, you know, also in my emails here on the couch. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and thank you so much for being on the couch today. I really appreciate you all reaching out about some of your concerns and, you know, some of your anxiety going on, and I hope I helped you a little bit. And if you have questions or concerns, you want to, you know, ask me questions for future shows, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And again, we don't have a therapy relationship. I'm just giving you ideas and suggestions, most of it based on research about what makes people live healthier and happier lives, and a lot of it from my private practice and my clinical experience. But again, I'm just helping you out with ideas, suggestions, and I'm not your therapist. But, you know, hey, I'm here for you guys. And I thank you all for writing in, expressing your concerns. Always happy to help. As I always say, do take care of yourself first. then you'll be great for other people. And that's the way it works in the world. That's your control over your actions and thoughts. All right, guys, have a good one. I appreciate you being here with me today. Take good care. And I'll be back next week with a lot more self-help, strengthening your inner self. Get a hold on that. How to do that. And that's what it's all about, is living happier and healthier in the now. Bye-bye. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Have a good one.